This week, Rob forgets his wallet, so I'm buying. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 69. Today is March 14th, 2014. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy with a wallet.
This is Rob. I'm drinking for free tonight.
Woo! That's not a joke.
I just
your liberal Rob.
I did forget
sponging off other people again.
Just like the liberal, right?
I have needs and I'm thirsty.
Next thing you know, he's going to cut himself and we'll have to provide health care to him.
No, I've been forced to have health care, so I'm all set.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Hashtag thanks, Obama. All right, so this is an episode all about conspiracy theories. And we're gonna talk about our favorites, first of all, and then we're also going to talk about why conspiracy theories are so prevalent. Like, why do people latch onto them and, you know, believe them even when there's virtually no evidence?
Oh, define no evidence.
And Cindy's taking care of us tonight.
Hello.
Hey. Woo. I just got another free beer off the man.
Woo. That's right.
Tastes better when it's free.
So, a couple of announcements first. Maybe just one announcement. We've severed ties with Podomatic, who used to host our podcast.
What?
So, if you're listening to this, you already know that because you've found the new feed for our podcast. But if you're listening via iTunes, there's no need for you to do anything. You don't need to change anything. We're just now hosting our audio files in a new place. We've redirected the RSS feed, so everything's taken care of. And by the time you hear this, I will have notified all our Podomatic listeners of our new feed location as well. So hopefully they can catch up with us here in our new location. But we're hosting our podcast on our very own website, MidwestPeaceProcess.com.
I don't know how we pay for this crack crew of IT engineers.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
They're redirecting links, shortening links.
I know, that's right.
Something
shortening
else
URLs. Links. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Okay, so we're going to talk about conspiracy theories, as I said. We'll also cover some listener feedback and from our last episode, which was our interview with Larkin Rose. We got some pretty good feedback about that one. So Rob's going to start things off here by, talking about his favorite conspiracy theory, I guess.
All right. I'll go with you my top three. My top three conspiracy theories. Best one is the whole JFK thing. Oliver Stone movie came out pretty good.
Yeah.
I like to get swirled up into that movie and just basically believe everything he's pushing down into my brain cells. I just turn off the doubt section of my brain.
Right, right.
I just let it flow. It's great. It's great. But it just has all the best things. It's got some 1960s action. It's got a little CIA. It's like even the confirmed facts of that one are good, you know?
Right.
Whether you tie it all together, you know Oswald was a crazy guy. You know he knew Danny Ferry. And you know there was something going on with the CIA. And then you have the whole Jack Ruby shooting at the end. Come on, you can't top that one.
Lee Harvey Oswald band. I have that picture up in my cube at work.
That is good.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I have not.
Thank you, Dallas. Good night.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what
you're talking about. This goes back to the early days of the World Wide Web, and it was one of the first memes. It's a image of it. Well, it's the famous image of Jack Ruby shooting Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay.
in the basement of the police headquarters.
Right.
But somebody photoshopped in instruments, so it looks like Jack Ruby's holding a guitar, Oswald's on the microphone, and the guy behind him is playing keyboard, and the caption below says, "Thank you, Dallas. Good night."
Wow, that's...
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Right.
Too soon.
Jeremy just broke our banner.
I did not. Wait. If I can get this clip out of the way.
What? I'm sorry it's bothering you.
It's a conspiracy set up to drive you crazy.
Yeah, apparently.
All right, so my second favorite that I've just been thinking about a lot is maybe a lot of normal people haven't heard about is the idea that the Sandy Hook shooting, Adam Lanza shooting his mom.
Yeah.
And then going to Sandy Hook Elementary and shooting all the kids, that all of that never happened.
That is just insane.
Wake up, Jerry. You're just not seeing what's in front of you. That's just fun to say.
And honestly, you know, when we were emailing back and forth earlier this week, prepping for the show, and you talked about that, I had not heard that.
Right.
So I had to go looking. I'm like, this can't be true.
Yep.
You hadn't heard about that?
No.
And
I think a lot of people haven't heard about it.
And so then, you know, I find they have a Facebook page, and there's like 100,000 likes on it. I'm like, seriously?
There's loads of YouTube videos. And
man, there are a lot of stupid people in the world.
I am definitely not one of those who thinks it didn't happen. But I think there may have been some spinning after it happened, because the initial, I won't say forensic reports, but police, when they were briefing the media, they said, well, he did the shooting with a handgun. We found a rifle that was left in the back of the car and blah, blah, blah. Well, then it turned into, yeah, he broke in the school with this rifle and shot everybody.
Yeah.
So it does play into the gun control agenda from that aspect.
So,
but
I mean, that's true every time there's some big, you know, event like this. And I mean, the armchair quarterbacks then, you know, start looking at, they focus in on like the initial media reports from, right, you know, the first hours after the story breaks.
But that wasn't the media just saying, that was a briefing from the police.
Right. Well, I just know, and you're probably going to get to this, Rob, but the 9/11 truthers are always focusing on, you know, media reports from, like, the first hour after the first plane hit the first tower. And, you know, it's like nobody knew what was going on, but there's all these reports about, you know, whatnot.
Right. And the pristine Pentagon lawn.
Yeah, and they want to point to that as if it's gospel. And it's like, you know, the news makes mistakes. So I always have to balance the, you know, how much of that is conspiracy theory, how much of it is just incompetent reporting. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Rob. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I think why this whole thing came up was really about the Sandy Hook false flag accusations. And it comes down to what you're saying about maybe gun control or maybe spin. Because I think the idea from the conspiracy theorists on the Sandy Hook thing was that it was all set up by Obama or the government or somebody to fake this massive event to try to push gun control legislation.
Right.
And then what actually happened at the end of the whole gun control push after Sandy Hook? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing got passed. Like, he couldn't pass a single law. Well, actually, I think one thing got passed, like, you know, maybe you can't have a nuke or something. It was like a token effort, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it raises the question, like, so you would need like at least 100 people sworn to secrecy for the rest of their lives, with years of planning before it, years of planning after that. Do the conspiracy theorists say that the kids are actually dead or that they're still alive?
I don't know. I haven't read any of
that. They say they're still alive and they're somehow you know, in on it.
The one thing I read, like, the only evidence they had was this photograph of one of the mothers who, you know, during one of the press conferences right after it happened was, you know, obviously lamenting the loss of her child. They took a screenshot from that press conference of this mother and compared it to another photo of an actress in Hollywood and said they're the same person. And so, therefore, this woman is an actress.
Yeah.
She's not really a mother. They hired her to pretend that, you know, she has a child who died in the massacre. And And that's it. That's the evidence. Well, I thought, the fact that these two pictures of two different women look kind of the same.
Well, there's a lot. I thought there was. Yeah, you know, I think there's more to it. There was the guy, the father, who read the letter.
Right.
And like before the press conference, he was seen laughing and joking with whoever it was, and then right. he comes up and he's all teary and reading this. And,
right. Right. It looks like he's like preparing for a show.
Yeah. So there's stuff. That was another piece of it, but.
But it all comes down to, I guess, this is why I brought up the whole thing in the first place. It makes you question the motive. Like,
right.
So you would need to orchestrate this whole plan and keep people under the gun. You know, you'd have to force them to secrecy so nobody spewed out the secret. You have to cap them if they're, you know, gonna go on the news and spill
okay,
the whole thing.
But people are sworn to secrecy all the time.
Right. So you get that whole thing going for what? One tiny gun law passed and everything else failed. Like, it doesn't add up. But it makes me think of like why do people get fired up about conspiracy theories? And like a lot of these videos, like if they devote any time at all, they'll devote a tiny percentage of what they think the big picture is. You know, but they'll just be like, look at these two videos, or look at this guy, he was in two different places. Like, but nobody ever asked the question like, so why did this guy orchestrate this to show up in the, but I don't think that's the point of the conspiracy.
Failure, I'm playing devil's advocate here a bit because I don't really buy into Sandy Hook being a conspiracy, like the whole thing being faked. But just because it failed doesn't exonerate it as a conspiracy.
No, but it just seems like the world's most futile exercise from magnitude of effort to benefit. It's like
you just defined government.
Well, okay, so I mean, I look at this Facebook page and all the people who have liked it, and I think, okay. Why would these people like a page like that?
Right.
All right. It's not because they really believe this conspiracy theory. It's because they hate Obama.
Right.
I mean, really.
Right.
You know, break it down to the most basic fundamentals.
Come on.
Actually,
I don't know why they hate Obama. Maybe it's because they're racist. It doesn't really matter. It's just the point is, none of this could have really happened. But if it did happen, the reason it happened was because Obama was pushing gun control legislation.
Right.
And so, you know, you just say, okay, well, I hate Obama, so therefore this must be true.
Right, right. And it just doesn't line up to me. Like I could see Obama wanting to push gun control legislation, but maybe call me one of the sheep. But I don't see him hanging out with David Plouffe, you know, sitting in the White House saying, all right, we want this to go. So
right.
can you round up 200 people and have kids act like they're dead?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Let's pick a school where we can pretend to kill a bunch of kids.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah.
Like, we got this orchestrated. I think, and I never thought about this before. Like, I do think when I think of the Sandy Hook thing, and I guess it ties to gun control and kind of a right-wing spin. Do you think that the 9/11 truthers are more of a left-wing kind of group overall?
Yes.
They are? So
definitely.
It's like kind of like the evil Bush Rumsfeld thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think?
9/11 truthers? Being liberals? Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't have categorized them that way, but...
Why not?
Well, I mean, I can see your point that, you know, they sign on to something like that just because they hate Bush or they hate Cheney or whatever.
Well, they wanted to get us into a war so they could spy on us.
I can see that, but I can see, you know, just as many conservative, anti-government people who view it as a false flag attack... saying that, you know.
And what's the spin?
Well, the spin is this was done just so that we could get into the war on terror.
Right, right. Or, you said the libertarian thing, like try to up the security.
Like, it's what's his name? Bill Kristol and the neocons.
Right.
And, you know.
Paul Wolfowitz.
Yeah. It's Manifest Destiny... Part two, you know, that...
But see, that makes a little more sense to me than the Sandy Hook thing.
Oh, of course it does.
No, it doesn't. It's
thanks
just
for proving my point.
No, it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't make sense. It makes more sense in terms of the levels of magnitude, like the huge act to pull off the huge
Wait
thing.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm serious.
The magnitude is not even close on those two things.
No, I think they're the same. It's like, well, we'll kill 3,000 of our own people so we can kill 30,000 of their people.
We have video of airplanes hitting buildings and the buildings falling down. We have no video of Sandy Hook. There are some pictures that have been released.
No, I'm not comparing.
That's
no,
the
well,
magnitude
that's not what I'm
of
okay.
putting
well,
on a conspiracy.
To be fair, there's no video of the plane hitting the Pentagon.
there is video, but it's
choppy.
It's choppy because it's closed circuit TV.
Well, it's time lapse video, so there's like one frame of some blurry thing.
Okay, fine. The Pentagon was a fake then, but the World Trade Center.
I think no question.
What I'm getting at is the magnitude of those two things. Not even close.
No, okay, yeah, I wasn't clear at all. I wasn't saying that the magnitude of the 9/11 matched the Sandy Hook. I'm saying you got it with a conspiracy theory. There's a trick pulled for a benefit. I'm saying the trick pulled, if you're a 9/11 truther, was a pretty big old trick. Like, let's get these planes to hit our own stuff to pull a pretty big benefit. Like, let's go attack Iraq. What I'm saying about the Sandy Hook thing, it's like so you're gonna act like you killed 150 kids so you could try to push a law that's going to get vetoed. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
150 or 27?
Was it 27? I was starting to figure out how many people would actually have to be involved in the conspiracy. You know, because they had the interviewers, they had the parents.
It was really only 20 kids, right?
Right.
20 kids and six adults.
But yeah. to pull it off, the teachers would have to be involved, the cops would have to be involved, the cameraman would have to be involved, the nun who showed up, she was wearing a badge, and the badge looked like it was from a set, you know. I've watched a little bit of these videos. So I was trying to calculate in my mind how many people would have to be in on it,
right,
for it to work. So you're gonna get these 150 people in on it for life,
right,
to try to push a gun law and you can't even pass it. Like, I don't know. That's what I mean about the two magnitudes. It's like you're trying to pull off some really huge orchestrated trick to, like, do something you could just do.
But there are those who believe that there were no people on board the planes that hit the World Trade Center.
Some say, well, they never had any. Some say, well, those people were taken to somewhere else and offloaded. And,
right.
You know, there's all these different theories on where the people went, but...
And
we haven't got to our three, but it comes to the other third thing that just comes out to the conspiracy theories. You have the motivation thing, and why do people get into it? What are these motivations? I think the third thing is you get this real dichotomy and dissonance in people's minds about, especially governmental things, like if you're a libertarian anarchist type, you say the government is like full of like the biggest idiots that. You know, they got weeded out of the free market system and had to go to government because they couldn't figure out how to do anything. But, like, except for these areas, when they're, like, masterminds, where they can orchestrate incredible things. You know, like, get the people on the plane, but now they're really not on the plane. But you can still get audio from the plane, which they'll pipe from the plane to the person. You know, it's like, God, these guys are geniuses, you know?
It's a collective.
But maybe they are geniuses and they just play like they're idiots to further...
No, there are idiots because all you have to do is go look at, what's his name, Cory Booker, who just drove to Hawaii, he said.
You can do it in the Muppet movie.
No, I missed that.
Pretty good. Yeah, he's a rep or a congressman from New Jersey, or senator from New Jersey, but he remembered fondly taking his first road trip back when he was 17 or 18. He drove to Hawaii and it was beautiful. That's on video. That was during the climate change big thing the Dems just had. But my point is,
he took the Los Angeles Honolulu tunnel.
Right.
Everybody drives that.
Like, I can't even figure out what was he trying to say.
I don't know what he was trying to say. I mean, I don't know where he was even trying to go.
A lot of times on the gaffes, you can kind of see, oh, he meant to say that, but he said, like, what was he even thinking?
No.
You know, like,
and then when he was somebody else corrected him, they're like, well, you didn't drive to Hawaii. He's like, oh, yeah, no.
Right.
And then he just went on, like nothing happened. Okay, so good story.
And there it is, just sitting there. But
back to the whole idea that they can't be idiots and geniuses. Well, they can, because look at any major corporation. There's a lot of levels of intelligence within
right,
a corporation.
Sure.
You have the people who are coming up with these great ideas, these great products, and make it happen. They have some good people behind them who make it, who, you know, do the daily grunt work. And then you have the chaff.
Sure, yeah.
Who are slowing things down or just kind of kicked off to the side and collecting a paycheck.
That's true, yeah. I'm not saying for the government to be involved in conspiracies that they all have to, you know.
No.
That you got your TSA agent, you have your mastermind. I understand that, but it's funny, like the enterprise of government. It's a little bit like I think it all came, this quote I remember was Dennis Miller back in the O.J. Simpson days was mentioning, like, I think the quote was like, they want to pin, they're saying the cops pin this whole conspiracy on O.J. Simpson, but they can't thin out the traffic after a Dodgers game, you know? So, like, when you think about, like, a police department, you know. Yeah. So what about O.J.? I got all the good conspiracies. What do you guys think of the O.J. thing?
He did it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a conspiracy there. O.J. killed her. End of story.
Killed both of them.
Do you think the cops, or do you think the cops organized a series of events to plant evidence against him?
No.
Or do you think that whole thing was a made up defense strategy?
I don't know. I think I barely remember. I remember the bloody glove that didn't fit, but...
You must have quit.
But that's so goofy because every time, you know, I've used gloves in the garden and they get wet while you're hosing off, whatever, and then you put them on the next time and it's like, oh, crap, this thing doesn't fit anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And it's hard not to think of that every time you put on a glove that doesn't fit. You're like, oh, my God, it's me. You know, or something. So,
I think maybe they were trying too hard to have a waterproof case against him, so maybe they did game things a little bit, but they didn't need to.
Right.
And because they may have done that, it actually watered down their case.
Right. Yeah, I've heard a statement where yes, he did it, but he should have been found innocent. You know, he did the thing, but if the cops screw up that much, you know.
There was a comedian, Ron Ramey, he used to be here in St. Louis all the time, but he was talking about it, and he said, the police tried to frame a guilty man.
So, right. You know, right.
Yeah. Well, if that's what they tried to do, they did a good job.
The whole O.J. thing just makes me feel nostalgic and warm. I mean, remember those? I mean, those were good times in the media. You know,
it was.
You had the Bronco running through, and everybody kind of stopped what they were doing.
The low speed chase.
And you had all the heroes involved, and you got the Cato Kalins and the Marsha Clarks, and
his birthday
and Mark
was just
Furman.
Last week.
Right? Yeah, it's like how much of that do we remember from? And that was
and Judge Ito, the Dancing Itos.
Dancing Ito. I mean, it was a
Cato. Oh yeah.
And I just wonder. I worry. It makes me sad that maybe we won't have events like that anymore in our fractured internet universe. You know, back then there was still network TV. So what were you going to watch? Entertainment Tonight and the OJ thing. You know, you only had so many options. So everybody, you know.
Right.
Court TV was on. People got all into it. Marsha Clark changed her hairstyle. Those were great times.
Wow, Rob, you remember.
All right, my last one is a great one. And a lot of people don't know it, but there's this theory that the arch, the St. Louis Arch, has either been built for or has extra things in it, like to put out current to affect the weather, so tornadoes and bad weather doesn't hit St. Louis.
Oh man,
that's broken.
Well, they can't keep it on all the time. People get suspicious.
But yes, at what point does a conspiracy theory become a litmus test for stupid people?
Well, I think the arch is...
I think that one meets the criteria.
So those are my three. I guess the JFK one, I think, is the most fascinating.
Yeah.
The Sandy Hook one points out the absurdity of motive the most. And the arch effect, just the funniest one.
So, I'll say that the JFK assassination conspiracy is my favorite, top of the list. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. I recently watched this documentary on Netflix. It's called Dark Legacy, and I would recommend that all our listeners check it out because it is somewhat compelling. Even though it's very South Park-ish in the animation and the way it's... the way it was produced, but it's kind of hard to argue with the facts that are presented, you know?
Well, are they facts that are presented?
Yeah.
Or?
I mean, I've gone and looked at, you know, everything that was in it that was new to me, I went and researched. And, you know, as far as I could tell, it was a fact.
Okay.
And that's why I thought it was compelling, and that's why I've brought it up on the show, because it, you know... And for those who are listening who don't know, Dark Legacy basically proposes that George H.W. Bush killed Kennedy. during the time when he was working for the CIA. He was put in charge of this whole operation, that Lee Harvey Oswald was one of his employees. And, you know, it's an interesting take on the whole thing. So, you know, I would encourage people to watch it and decide for themselves whether they think it's legit or not. But, yeah, that one's by far my favorite because... And I can trace it all the way back to when I was little. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember having a conversation with my aunt. And, you know, she was talking about how this had become a defining event for her generation. Like, everybody remembers where they were when JFK was assassinated. But then, you know, she was one of the people who believed the conspiracies of the day. And this, we're talking like the 70s, so it wasn't that long ago, or that long after...
What were they? What were the conspiracies?
Well, you know, she didn't believe the single bullet theory, like when the Marshall Report or whatever came out.
Warren Report.
When the Warren Report came out, she didn't believe it.
Right.
She was like, there's no way. You know, there's no way one bullet did all that damage to two people.
Right, right.
And so that was, you know, that was like one of the first times that I was exposed to just the notion that people didn't believe what the government said, you know, the official government position on something like that. You know, so we obviously just recently celebrated 50 years since the JFK assassination. And, I mean, you know, the debate over it hasn't really calmed down any in those 50 years.
No.
Which, I mean, how do you explain that? You know, and everything that I've read on conspiracy theories, you know, it gets to sort of a fundamental human psychology that people don't want to believe that the universe is chaotic, that, you know, crazy things just happen for no reason. You know, nobody wants to live in that universe. So when something terrible like that happens, they want to believe that somebody was responsible for it, you know, that human action caused it, so that they can at least point to some evil person or some group of evil people and say, that's the reason that this terrible thing happened, not because it was just chance or because...
But that wasn't chance. I mean, why is Lee Harvey Oswald not evil enough?
Right, and that's where it comes down to the motivation. It comes, like, conspiracy theories, like I said, it's all coming clear in my drunk brain, is that you have to pull a big trick to get a big event. And here, this scene, what pushes the pressure on these sort of conspiracy theories, like the Lee Harvey Oswald thing, is like, that was a huge thing, kill a president with a rifle,
right.
And like, so you got one guy, like, I mean, you almost have to trump it, you got to build it up to have the motive as big as what the event is.
Right, yeah.
And Sandy Hook's almost like the other way, you had this really big event and like the little piddly motive, you know?
Yeah. How could one guy kill the president?
Right. And I guess I could see how that could happen, but it's...
Well, apparently they were pretty worried in Texas because he was not... JFK was not liked in Texas.
Right,
so it was a security risk for him to go there.
Right.
But I don't think that's... The guy who shot him, or is said to have shot him...
Yeah, allegedly shot him. Or one of the many people who allegedly shot him.
I don't think that's who they imagined would shoot him if Texas was their big security concern.
Right, right, right. Right, and part of that conspiracy theory obviously extends all the way to the Secret Service.
Right.
That they didn't do the prep work that they would normally do in a situation like that. You know, they didn't have snipers on the roofs of all the buildings around, you know. Now, part of that is... That wasn't standard procedure then. You know, it didn't become standard procedure until after that event occurred.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, you know, like, they had not checked all the buildings on the route,
right.
Which was, my understanding, that was part of their standard procedure, was to, you know, at least survey the buildings along a route like that.
Yeah.
They hadn't done that. And so, you know, some people have said, well, that's evidence that, you know, there was somebody else directing the Secret Service's actions. I don't know. The JFK conspiracy, obviously, there's so much to it, and it's been around for so long that, I mean, it's a complete rabbit hole. Like, you can follow that thing as deep as you want to follow it.
Right.
And it's fun stuff. It's the granddaddy of all conspiracy theories, really.
Come across, I mean, the Secret Service back then, the Lyndon Johnson connections, the whole mobster thing with the gun at the end, and the it's awesome.
Well, it's awesome.
We can talk about this now, or that's in one of my top ones.
No, go ahead.
Listener Jordan, when he was here, we were talking about this back in November. He said, or I guess it was the December podcast, he said, as far as finding out who did it, he said, why does that matter anymore? And it's 50 years ago. And at the time, I didn't have a great answer, but the more I thought about it, you know, there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Right.
And that's murder. It gets a nice pretty name like assassination. It's no different from murder.
Right, sure.
So that's one thing. Two, if whatever forces were in play who decided that Kennedy needed to be shot because of some, whether it was what he was doing in the United States or his foreign policy or whatever it was, if those forces are still in play today, and that's something that should be addressed.
Right. And why wouldn't they be?
Now, there are still assassinations that go on around the world. Hear about it all the time. Of that magnitude and that method, maybe not so much.
Right.
But now it's economic or character assassination where you're discredited so that you're no longer a threat or a perceived threat to whoever wants to disarm you. But whatever force that was, I think it is important to find out.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, Jordan, come on back.
So take that, Jordan.
Defend yourself. Called out in a podcast.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about conspiracy theories, and then we'll get into some listener feedback. So stay with us.
Urging because Rob wants to study pigeons over the universe.
Talk about morphic fields. Morphic fields.
So during the break, we're talking about a recent episode of To the Best of Our Knowledge on NPR. And a scientist, his last name's Sheldrake. I don't remember his first name. But he's written a couple books on morphic fields, and he's kind of been labeled a heretic outside of the scientific community. They're shunning him, basically, because of what they consider pseudoscience. And while this might not qualify as a bona fide conspiracy theory, you know, it kind of speaks to the whole psychology of conspiracies, because you have, you know, the true believers, and then you have these people that are shunned because they don't believe.
Climate change.
And so this led Rob to start talking about, go ahead, recap what you were saying.
Well, Jerry was talking about how Sheldrake, Doctor, that's his first name, Dr. Sheldrake, was discussing carrier pigeons and how the scientific community in our highly technical super nav GPS locator down to the super meter
that can't find an airplane in Indian Ocean.
But more to the point that we are unable to understand how carrier pigeons find their way back home. And I was claiming that like, for me in science, it's a little bit like infinity. Infinity goes two directions. You could find infinite wonders going smaller and smaller in the number line and finding gaps between real numbers and that sort of thing. Or you can get bigger and bigger. And to me, I guess I'm more of a smaller guy. Like I think there's something into the carrier pigeons. How does that work? What can that teach us? And I'm just down on space, and I know our podcast member Jeremy here, he's a space guy. And I get the space is cool, you got a solar system, it's really big, planets whip around, whatever. But like the space studies seem to always push out farther and farther. We want to look at this Hubble telescope image from this many light years away, and we want to see this thing, and it's super big, and to get there would take 8 gazillion years. Like it seems to be extending the wrong way. Maybe we need to extend within ourselves, like the morphic fields guy. Like maybe there's maybe the infinite wonders that we need to start seeing in our world are.
So you're saying there's plenty of mysteries here on Earth to solve before we go looking into space.
I agree with that to some extent, but I think you need to go both directions. And in physics, they are going both directions.
Right. That's true. That's probably why, the best example, right?
Yeah. Because
they're trying to find you some Higgs boson and some tiny thing to try to understand what is going on in the galaxy. Right.
And I'll try to find the link, but there's a really good animation. It's this website, and you can scroll out.
Yeah.
It gets bigger and bigger.
Powers of 10.
Yep. The Eames family put
it's
that together.
Outstanding. Anyway, you can also go smaller and smaller. But when you go smaller and smaller, it kind of, maybe that points to how little research has been done, but it seems to fade out pretty quickly to stuff that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
As you zoom out, it gets more and more interesting to me.
I always forget if I've discussed these, my
internal ideas.
Nobody's listening anyway, so I'll fire this one out again. Like, I think all these applications that we have all of these things, military platforms that are getting more and more complicated, and more things are going into them. And I feel like we're going to be laughed at as people look back on us in history, that we're so focused on putting capabilities into single things to making them more and more awesome, instead of making things that are super small, that communicate in very special but very simple ways, and having lots of them. We need to start seeing how our brains work. Our brains aren't like a huge Cray supercomputer of data. There's something about the connections between all the little parts that make the brain what it does.
Parallel computing.
And what do we do when we make an app? We just beef up that app to be the most awesome app. Like, we don't think of little parts. And I think, programmers in the future are going to laugh at us that we just kept adding if statements into our...
Because that's the easy part. There are people who are doing the very small things that are making the leaps happen.
Right. I think that's where the leaps are.
That's where the leaps are. Right. But they don't have enough people working on those leaps because it's hard.
It's hard.
And it's expensive.
And it doesn't match our brain. We're not yet able to conceive of what it would be.
Well, no. I can go write a case statement. You can write a case statement.
Right.
Anybody here can do that. That's why it's easy to keep adding on stuff.
Exactly.
We're geeking out here for the software inept.
Yeah. I'm a software inept too, but that's one of the things I love. Oh, I just love a good block of a switch, a good switch block.
Yeah.
I just love it.
It looks good.
It does. It's efficient.
So I think like so I have this example in my brain where instead of, we want to make we have cameras now that can survey a battlefield. So we want to make a really cooler camera, a really awesome camera. Now it sees really well, it sees in color and does all sorts of things. But I think in the future the there won't be a single camera. What's going to happen is there's going to be, if you want to surveil that area, you're going to send out 600 bees. Little tiny applications that fly around and do almost nothing. They see right. a little part, and they tell something else what they see if they're in that environment.
Yeah.
But somehow, those behaviors all put together create an entire image of what an environment looks like, even though no one camera sees the image.
Okay, so we're off in the weeds now. How does this relate to conspiracy theories?
I don't know. You started talking about scientific revolutions. We'll start there on episode 70. Yeah, I thought it related, but then I got lost.
Give him a card, man. Are they going to join us?
Maybe in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Put him on the spot.
All right, so we were off in the weeds there.
Yeah.
Jeremy, bring us back. We're back to conspiracy theories.
I don't know that I have a good list because there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
You've heard me. We've already talked about JFK a lot, and obviously that's one of the big ones.
Right.
Climate change. Everybody should know by now that I'm not a fan of the industry that is.
Sure. I'm not sure that qualifies as a full-blown conspiracy theory, though.
I don't think it's conspiracy theory, but I think it is trying to push an agenda.
Yeah.
But you're
I know.
Right.
I know it's trying to push an agenda.
Now that I've just driven this whole podcast off topic, I want to be the guy to try to bring it back on. So if you to bring that up, are you so bold to claim that scientists around the world have coordinated to create a false science of climate change to try to push their agenda? To be a conspiracy, it has to be like orchestrated.
What is orchestrated? You have the UN
to
orchestrating it.
Okay, so are you claiming that the
IPCC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you saying they got together and they said, "Hey, we want to push things this way. Let's start kicking out some science."
Well, yes. Okay, so this does relate to what we were talking about then about, you know, Dr. Sheldrake and because if that's true, then whatever the percentage is now, I've lost track. Is it 80%, 90%, 98%? I don't know.
People claim 98% of papers.
But all the scientists who have signed on to the IPCC and said, yes, I agree with this account, are we saying that they're doing it because they actually believe it or because they're feeling pressure from the larger scientific community that if they don't sign on to the consensus, quote-unquote right. consensus, that they will be shunned and treated like Sheldrake. They'll be excommunicated and, called a heretic.
I think I've said this before. I think there are both. There are true believers who say, look, this is what I've seen. I've studied it in my flawless study. And I think there are those who are pressured into it. I mean, guys have had their funding revoked because they were non-believers.
Right.
They've been censured. I don't have names, so don't ask me to name some guy.
You had a link in the show notes.
I did.
This time.
Yes.
Let me find
the IPCC, former members of the panel.
Right. So the link for our listeners want to look at in the missing links for the show notes. An Obama advisor is attacking me for testifying that climate change hasn't increased extreme weather. That's the link.
Yeah, okay, that's one of the links. I'm not sure that's the one I was talking about. There's another one where two guys were saying John Kerry was irresponsible in his comments about flat Earth people.
Oh, I'll buy into that.
Okay,
non-believers being equivalent to people believing the Earth is flat. I mean, he spouted off about it, and they were saying, look, here's what we do know, but it's not solved yet. And they were former members of the IPCC panel. All they were saying was, let's keep looking at it.
Right.
This is not solved.
Right.
And let's have debate on this.
Yeah, let's keep talking about it.
Right. And that's pretty much all I'm saying is, stop pushing consensus because there's not the
the consensus is lacking, I think, it's way lacking in the conclusions, and I think it's lacking in the extrapolation. Like, what,
yes.
Right. But I think the consensus is growing about, like, well, this is the history of the pattern of the Earth, and, you know, I think we're understanding that. I'll agree with you that this, the conclusions you draw from there, like, oh, no more aluminum cans, you know,
I've also said, that what they're doing to address it is not addressing it.
Right.
It's not helping. So that's
100%.
That's when, and this leads into the whys of a conspiracy theory.
Right.
When a story changes in some drastic way, when the story is inconsistent in some drastic way, when discussion is stifled.
Yeah.
And when the explanations for a given situation add up, let me finish this out, and then when they don't add up, that's when you start, you know, people start saying, well, wait a second, this, something's going on here, because none of this stuff, what you're saying is
right,
not adding up. So either you don't know what you're talking about, or you're purposely lying, or, you know, what's the real deal? And then, you know, people clam up, and you're a non-believer, you're a...
Right.
Somebody better shut this guy up. Well, yeah. Okay, then the conspiracy grows.
Right, and I think what listener Eric would raise if Eric was here is what he would say is that... He's here in spirit. I think what he would say is that these sorts of things happen in the scientific community all the time, whether it's biology or insect genetics or chemistry. When you get your camps, you're going to have your consensus, you're going to have your non-believers. The worry there is that the doubt against the scientific consensus, which is always there against any scientific consensus, is pushed by a political backlash about what the conclusions that the consensus is trying to draw.
Right.
So if you're over there talking about the red butt baboon or something, and that's your field, and you got, you know, 94% of you agree, and there's 6% that thinks the red butt baboon was derived from tigers, you know. Well, that happens, but it's like maybe the science is driving them to disagree with the consensus. And so the fear here is that the what's driving the dissent against the scientific community is a political will.
Okay.
As a response to what the political will of the conclusions that were taken from the consensus.
Right. There are a lot of levels to this, and that's what frustrates me when Eric talks about this.
Right. It's not...
Because he tells me, well, don't believe those guys. Don't believe their data. Believe these guys. These guys are telling the truth. Why don't you believe these guys?
And I guess I would get more frustrated with I think there's a feeling, you know, because it's the dissenters in the scientific community by the percentage, you see, like, well, these guys are funded by the Koch brothers to put out a scientific study to go against the universe. Yeah, but that's denying the fact that all of the industry, as you call it, that are taking the consensus, the 94% consensus, and drawing huge extrapolating conclusions about what that consensus means.
And that's the other go-to... Discreditation, is that a word? Did I just make up a word?
Sure,
like,
man.
Yeah, like discredit. All right.
Strategery.
Lockbox. The other frequent one is, well, why do you not believe these scientists, but you'll believe all these other scientists? Well, Rob, you already brought it up, the baboon.
Right.
Nobody cares about the baboon. Not many people care about the baboon.
Right.
They're not going to take baboons away from my local park, you know, because they're...
Not the red butt ones.
Not the red butt ones, anyway. But I read a lot of articles, and every other week there's caffeine is good for you. No, caffeine's not good for you. Oh, you should eat chocolate. No, don't eat chocolate. Well, nobody's trying to take chocolate or caffeine or coffee away from me, except for Michael Bloomberg in New York. He's trying to take away caffeine. But
that bastard.
But it doesn't, those are... You know, you read them,
whatever.
It's somewhere down the middle.
Right.
Again, so, but climate, they are trying to take things away. And
both sides are pushing a political agenda on top of what the science is.
So what political agenda are the non-believers pushing?
I think they're pushing a reaction against what the other crowd is pushing.
Well, but that's...
I don't think the science is motivating. Is it? I guess
it's not an agenda.
This is where I probably betray my liberal sense. And for simplification purposes, I'll oversimplify my thoughts about this. But I feel like
trying to hurry because this has gone way too far into climate change.
That's right. I think scientists got together and decided a consensus about what they think was going on, warming, and made no conclusions about, oh, let's take away your fluorescent bulbs, you know. That wasn't their thing. They're just looking at little ice core things and screwing around with CO2 levels, doing their little science dork thing. They did that to come up with a consensus. I think the liberals popped onto that and started pushing a political agenda out to the world based on that science. Science is like, whoa, we used to be a geologist and now we're in the news. What the heck is going on?
Now we're in the news and we have a lot more research money.
Right,
more data that shows we're warming.
Right.
Oh, CO2
okay, so
levels,
now
even though they've been higher before when the planet was colder. Oh, hey.
So now we have this political wing that's taken advantage of the science that was the consensus. And I think now you have a political counterlash against that says, hey, we got to stop these Al Gores of the world. What are we going to do to stop that? What do? You specifically fund scientists to counterbalance that science.
I can see
the loop happening.
Because obviously Al Gore is a lightning rod for the right.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And we talked about that on the show before. I think I talked about my mom and, you know, the conversation I had with her about climate change and how, well, it can't be right because Al Gore says it, right?
Oh, right.
So, yeah, there's definitely a faction out there that is, you know, opposed to the whole global warming as an issue because Al Gore is involved with
it.
Right. It's got nothing to do with the science. It's purely political.
Right.
All right. Yeah. We've gone.
You helped make it clear in my mind, I guess. That's how I see it.
So all right. So there's one.
Kind of a big
one. Not a conspiracy. So, okay.
All right, so I would include. I don't think we can talk about conspiracy theories without talking. We touched on it briefly earlier, but 9/11.
And wait a minute, is this mine or is this yours? What the heck? Rob listed three, and then
I only listed one.
Well, then you went on break. Why'd you do that?
All right.
Well, then why'd you let me start? Go for it. 9/11.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
9/11.
Is that on your list?
Not exactly. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to throw out that, you know, there's a couple of things about 9/11 that still don't make sense. And that's what drives my interest in the whole. I mean, I think for the most part, 9/11 truthers are, you know, like the whole birther, you know, Obama birth certificate movement. They're crazy. You know, they're latching on to stuff that doesn't necessarily make any sense just because they you know, it's, again, the psychologic effect of an attack like 9/11. They don't want to believe that something like that could happen unless somebody, you know, orchestrated it.
Yeah.
But World Trade Center 7, that's one of the things. The other is the Pentagon. Where did the plane go? If a plane hit the Pentagon, there should be debris. There should be evidence left that a plane hit it, and there is none. There was never any identifiable piece of an airplane recovered at the Pentagon site.
Hmm.
And that is puzzling, at the very least.
But didn't a plane go missing? So what happened to the plane?
Well, I mean, they claim they hit it. They hit the building with the plane with such force that it completely disintegrated, that there wasn't a single shred of the plane left.
So if there wasn't the case, the plane's got to be somewhere.
And that seems physically impossible to me.
But where's the plane?
How much of the planes that hit the World Trade Center were recovered? I realize that's a little bit different, but...
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Okay. Well, so that might be a worthy comparison.
Though. Maybe.
So what are they saying that happened to that flight?
They're saying it was a missile.
Well, there are those who say
there
was a missile.
No fourth plane.
I'm not saying it's a missile. I'm just saying there's a question there that needs to be answered. Where did the plane go? No one has answered that question to my satisfaction. And the same with World Trade Center 7. Why did that building collapse? No one has answered that to my satisfaction.
Okay.
And that one's also the way it collapsed. You know, it wasn't like, ooh, it got hot down here, and oh, I'm falling over. It was
I was 100 yards from the building that collapsed, and I took minimal damage, but I guess I'll collapse too. I mean, you know.
Maybe it fell to peer pressure.
Yeah, right.
All the big buildings are doing it.
Okay. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jeremy. Go on with your list.
He just got a little excited.
Let's see. What was I going to say? You got me all. I'm all out of whack now.
Sorry.
I don't even know. I have a couple things about 9/11 and Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
One of the conspiracies of Pearl Harbor, I don't know if I'd call it a conspiracy again, but Roosevelt knew it was going to happen, and they let it happen.
Yeah. Well, that's not a conspiracy. Right. That is proven fact.
It is.
I mean, there's plenty of historical evidence for that now.
I don't think that's the accepted...
Okay.
If you asked anybody, did we know Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked? All right, well, no, it was a surprise.
We'll ask some people here later. We'll put that up on YouTube.
But it is true.
People have thought that, you know, 9/11, we knew about that, and they let it happen. You know, yeah. It was a real attack, but they let it happen.
Right.
And
that's more believable.
Why is it more believable?
More believable than Pearl Harbor?
No, I'm saying it's more believable than
it was a conspiracy that it actually... Okay, I see what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And the Pearl Harbor thing, like, if that came out in the papers, you know, in 2050 or whenever they declassify, like, it's kind of like a little bit like the Snowden documents, like, hey, the government's spying on everything you're doing. You're like, yeah? You know, didn't we think that? Yeah. You know, I think the Roosevelt thing would be like... Yeah.
And that, let me finish up on what I was saying about the Pearl Harbor 9/11, and then I'll address what you just said about Snowden, but... I'm pointing at Rob right now.
For you
at home. But somebody in a discussion, it was a liberal, I was liberal female at that. That sounded like I am a woman hater, but no, I'm not. It was,
right, at that.
You would have to meet this lady to know why I said it that way. But, and we dated for a little while. So...
but full disclosure.
Full disclosure. It's the ire. Thank you, Cindy. She was saying, why not, if we didn't know 9/11 was going to happen, why not brief the American people and say, here's the plan, you know, this is what was planned against us, now we're going to go attack Afghanistan and root out Al-Qaeda. So nobody would believe that. Nobody would believe that some group of these... Pardon my for, you know, doing it for the effect of the story. These camel jockey desert dwelling nothings are going to hijack four of our planes and crash them into buildings. Bull. That's a bunch of bull.
Oh, I'm sorry. She was saying they could have come out and say, look, we just thwarted this attack. We're going to go.
Yeah, now we need to go.
Giving high credit to the American people. They would be like, yeah, I could see that happening. Let's go whoop it.
I don't think people would buy that. One,
right?
I think
they'd be like,
right. How are they gonna hijack four planes in one day?
Have you seen this crazy airline security? Right.
Yeah. Couldn't even get my nail clippers through. Actually, you could back then.
Good. Right.
So the point is, I don't know what the point was, but I guess it was just a similarity between Pearl Harbor and 9/11 that. Two major events, major attacks. In fact, they equated the two a lot. You know, the biggest or the worst attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor.
How they were
classifying 9/11. And similar things. Did we know or didn't we know?
Yeah.
And did they let it happen? Jerry says we knew in Pearl Harbor. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think we went 20 or 30 years after the fact without it being common knowledge that the documents were classified, hadn't been released to the public. But, I mean, we're way past that now.
Yeah.
FDR knew. He knew it was coming. They had advance notice, and they didn't do anything about it.
So is that?
So the question is,
we wanted to be in World War II.
Well, the question is, did they? I mean, is that why? Because we wanted to get drawn into it. We wanted a reason to get into it.
Why else would you let it happen then?
Well, okay. So then the parallels are obvious, right? That 9/11 was a false flag attack because we wanted a war. We wanted.
Well, is it really a false flag? It's not a false flag attack.
Right, sometimes you let things happen.
Well, okay, maybe.
You could be on the morning of September 11th going in, like, calling up to Hanscom Air Force Base, like, why don't we get some F-16s up in the air? Why? I don't know, just do it. You know, you could do that, or you could be like, let's just go. Right.
All right, so parallels there, but, you know, we get drawn into a war, and we're still in the war, and... But we're not Rob classified, or sorry, Jerry, do you want to go on with your
next go
one?
Ahead.
Okay. You classified me as a space guy, so naturally I have to bring up what?
Space.
Roswell, 1947.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. That's probably my number two, because I...
Okay.
Really, JFK has to be number one. I hate to be a follower, but you just can't...
Can't beat it.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. I mean, it has international intrigue. It has...
Yeah. It's the granddaddy of all conspiracy theories. Although Roswell probably is up there, but I don't know. I think there's enough time has elapsed, and there's been enough... There was never enough evidence for it to begin with, and I think the evidence that was there has been shown to be dubious.
Really?
I believe that's my personal feeling.
But it raises the question, maybe this is my overall thesis in this podcast paper I'm writing for my English class, that conspiracy theories reflect the paranoia of the society that you're in at the time.
Right? Maybe.
I think in the 50s you had the space race and Sputnik, and everybody was thinking about space, and oh my God, everybody was seeing UFOs all the time.
Right.
In Project Blue Book,
and
it was kind of the golden age of crazy aviation too, where everybody's, you know, jets were up and going, and Air Force was flying weird things. So all those things were kind of coming together, you know. So if you would think, if there was truth in the Roswell thing, that aliens are just bopping around everywhere, you would think in the age of cell phone cameras and everything else, we would see UFO sightings. Like, UFO sightings should be at an all-time max right now.
Yeah,
considering back in the 50s, people had to get out their Polaroids and snap it at the right time, you know? If there were truly flying saucers everywhere.
Well,
nobody's
thinking
about flying saucers.
So qualify what you mean by the Roswell conspiracy, because there's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
I mean, are you referring strictly to the one incident that was, you know, explained away as a weather balloon?
Yes.
You think there's more there than just a weather balloon?
More there than just a weather balloon.
Okay. So I would disagree. I would say that was
a weather balloon.
Yeah.
A really weird weather balloon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they recovered enough stuff to say it was anything other than, you know, some kind of weather balloon.
Truthfully, I don't know what they recovered.
Well, okay. That's probably fair.
Yeah.
Let's go find out. I hear they're letting you in.
Again, it's one of those situations where the locals are saying... we saw this. Hey, what's this? You know,
yeah.
The farmer, and then some of the... The documentary I saw, maybe you can loosely use the term documentary.
On Netflix?
Yeah. They interviewed the daughter of a guy who was in the Air Force and associated with this when it happened.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem. We're, you know, 60, 70 years removed from anybody that
was
an eyewitness.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
But you have these people who feel like they really saw something not ordinary. Or, you know, even if I don't know what a weather balloon is, if I see something and then you tell me, well, that's a weather balloon, I could be like, oh, yeah, okay,
right.
Yeah, that's cool.
It makes sense.
Right.
These people are like, oh, there's no way. You know,
right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
I saw this little weird writing on it. And, you know,
so
why would a weather balloon have that around? So... And what I was getting at is that the story changed. First it was a weather balloon, then it was something else. Then, you know, the Army came in and cordoned off the area and carted some stuff away under a tarp. And
yeah.
It's just a weather balloon. Who cares about a weather balloon?
Right. Yeah, it's got a barometer on it.
Yeah.
Well, so when you first brought it up, what I was thinking is you were going to go with, you know, because there's this whole arc, right, from Roswell through... You know, alien autopsies and Hangar 18 and Wright Patterson, and, you know, leads all the way up to the X-Files and, you know, everything that went on that show. And
as usual, I take a middle path in this stuff. There's stuff that's way beyond. It's like, come on, now you're just trying to milk some money out of this idea. But I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. And
that's so good.
That,
so good.
And
I used to watch... Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of.
Oh, see, that's just dumb.
take it back another half generation.
Well, but, you know, you have relatively credible people who have come out saying, hey, I saw something, and it's not what they're explaining. And you can discredit my credible people, one of them being Jimmy Carter. He had he had an experience that he talks about.
Right.
It was during a campaign, I believe, while he was campaigning for Georgia governor.
Yeah.
I don't know
and,
about this.
And yeah, I only recently heard about it.
Well, this is separate, though, from Roswell. I mean, the UFO thing is kind of a separate...
I use Roswell as the...
Phenomenon.
The Touchstone, granddaddy of them all.
Right. Okay.
And you can put the others under the umbrella of
What's
Roswell.
What's the Jimmy Carter UFO thing?
It was essentially a campaign rally, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was campaigning for governor of Georgia way
and
back.
And he just basically told his own personal story of seeing a UFO and not being able to explain what he saw.
And he wasn't the only one who saw it. It was...
Where are they now? Did we just have a peak?
Peak? What?
A peak, P-E-A-K. Did we have a peak of
UFO? Oh, like now they're like, oh, these
they're like,
this
they're
is a planet full of idiots. Let's
right.
get out of here.
Yeah, right. They went elsewhere to investigate.
Yeah, so where are there not UFO sightings now?
Rob, I don't know. Maybe they're better at hiding. Maybe they know we have cameras and they know.
They're like,
you know,
snap, we can't do this old stuff we used to do.
They can still progress with technology,
yeah,
too.
Right.
We're not the only ones.
Right. We used to be able to play this off as weather balloons.
The Arizona governor, former governor of Arizona, he had an experience that he talks about now. And it was, in fact, he made light of it by having an alien come to a press conference because he, and he really ticked off a lot of people.
Yeah, right.
Other people were reporting these lights in the Arizona sky.
Right, I remember the Phoenix lights.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, turns out, he saw them too, and didn't, you know, wasn't buying the explanation of it, and he talks about it now, and it's like he's saying, yeah, there's
something
was there, and we don't know what it was,
right?
And maybe it wasn't aliens, but what they're saying, it was not what they're saying, and we don't know what it was.
All right,
and then various astronauts have come out.
Yeah,
really.
You know, I
Edgar Mitchell is the biggest one. There's a phony YouTube video of the was he on Apollo 14, I think, with Al Shepard.
Look at you!
But they're standing by the American flag, and you hear the voice of Edgar Mitchell saying, "Oh, it looks like our friends were here visiting again." And Al Shepard says, "Yeah, barely worth mentioning." And that's supposed to be him or them, you know, admitting that, okay,
right,
there's extraterrestrials.
Right.
Well, that video has largely been discredited. But
what are these, what's the overall astronaut thing?
They're just astronauts who have reported seeing things that have
flying.
No...
There's a number of documented UFO, like... In the literal sense, unidentified flying objects
while they're
in
orbit,
while they're in,
you
know, low Earth orbit or on their way to the moon or whatever.
That are doing things that aren't debris-like things, right?
Yeah. Right.
They're changing direction.
Yes.
And,
very
you know,
and jiving and
the whole UFO thing, I mean, I recognize the connection to Roswell, but the UFO thing, to me, is a separate phenomenon. And I wouldn't call it a conspiracy. It's not...
So the government doesn't know any more than we know.
Right.
I disagree.
Because I used to be on that side of the fence. I used to go to the meetings of MUFON and
I don't buy it all because I think there are a lot of crazies involved.
Oh, there are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I used to have the I Want to Believe poster hanging up in my room, you know. From the X-Files. I was that guy.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I'm
boy.
Still willing to believe there are extraterrestrials out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I
totally subscribe to, you know, Carl Sagan's contact.
Billions
and that,
and billions.
And that, you know, if there isn't anybody else out there, it's a big waste of space. I'm totally on board with that.
That's fine. That's
but not I'm not willing to... I don't buy the Majestic 12. I don't buy into the government being involved in any way. Area 51 and, you know, the fact that we have alien spacecraft hidden there and we're testing. No, I don't buy any of that. But that's just me.
All right. I just don't... I guess, so do they feel like they have to say something when, you know, people saw something and they come out with weather balloons, swamp gas.
Yeah, swamp or, gas reflecting off the moon.
We had some F-16s up or, you know. I mean, do they feel like they have to say something even if they know it's wrong? Or why can't they say, I don't know. I don't know what you saw.
Maybe it's not aliens. Maybe it's the government has aircraft that can juke and jive.
Yeah, and I won't rule that out as a possibility either.
Okay, so that still leads into the government knows stuff they're not telling us.
Okay. And if it's, you know, top secret aircraft that we developed that we're testing and we don't want people to know about, I got no problem with that. But the fact that we recovered bodies at Roswell, or that we recovered alien technology and, you know, reverse engineered it, and no, I'm not buying that.
That surprises me that you would say I'm okay with that, because I would think someone who's anti-government, you would want disclosure.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if that's the explanation for all UFO phenomenon, that it's actually, you know, top secret government aircraft being tested, I'm good with that. I agree with that. I don't believe it's alien spacecraft that we have collected or, you know, reverse engineered.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to take another quick little break.
Woo.
And when we come back, we'll dig into some listener feedback. So stay with us. Are back, and we have some feedback from our favorite listener, Eric. Eric has this to say: Jerry, about 20 minutes in, you say something like, until we get past this authority myth that government is necessary, then humanity can't make progress. Gotta take issue with that statement. I think overall, the last couple of thousand years has been pretty good for humanity. Expected lifespan is way up. Overall nutrition, sanitation, standard of living. And if you read Steven Pinker's The Better Angels of Our Nature, he makes the case that violence in humanity has been trending down for quite some time. Now, you could debate whether or not progress would have been more or less without government, but I'm hard-pressed to think of a definition of progress that you're using when you say we haven't made any. Okay, so I'm a little skeptical that violence has been trending down, first of all. But even if it has, the remaining violence in the world is largely a result of government. The death and destruction that we've witnessed in the modern era could not possibly exist on the scale that it does without government involvement. All right, that's my stance. And one of the points that Larkin Rose made over and over again, and in his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant, is that most, not all, tyrants today are getting better at masking the tyranny. And so what that means is the violence and coercion are still there, but they have become more skillful at convincing the people that the violence is in their best interest and should be condoned or, quote, voted for. And this is where we are regressing, in my opinion. We have to reverse this trend for there to be any progress for humanity, in my eyes.
It was the first I was exposed to either of those. My own laziness, I suppose. But I have a couple opinions, and that one thing I mentioned earlier was during the assassinations. Now it's less physical violence and more character assassination or economic type assassination of people.
Yeah.
So I would say that violence is maybe not always seen as violence. So you can say, well, it's trending down. Violence is trending down.
Okay.
And then again, in traditional violence, yeah, maybe it is. I mean, people were pretty brutal. And you look through history and
yeah,
people were just downright brutal.
Oh, yeah.
still happens in some cases, but it's...
I mean, if you add up just the 20th century, something like 100 million people were murdered by governments, whether that was the Nazis, Stalin, Mao. I mean, you know,
it doesn't exclude the United States from that.
Yeah, it's not hard to you know, add those numbers up.
But we have better health care now, so...
Yeah, right, so those numbers should go down. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
I didn't mean that. Was not. I just meant, you know, some people who experience violence have recovered because of better health care.
Okay.
It's not a shot at Obamacare.
This time.
Rob, anything to add on this? Jerry, anything else?
You know, Rob's shaking his head. He's got nothing.
Yeah, he's done. My last conspiracy was Flight 800, TWA Flight 800.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't ever list my third conspiracy, but not much of a conspiracy. I think somebody just screwed up.
Really? You think it was mechanical failure?
No. I think somebody mechanically shot at it.
Mechanically shot at it.
No, there were the theories, well, they saw something streaking up towards it.
Right,
you know,
yeah. There's
okay, so...
A lot of eyewitness accounts.
I mean, that's happened before where the Navy has accidentally shot down an airliner.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
right.
Iran. They shot down the Iranian airliner, and then the payback was Lockerbie.
Yeah.
The bombing of the Lockerbie 747 Pan Am. So, point is, maybe somebody did screw up, and then it was a scramble to come up with this empty fuel tank theory, even though thousands of planes fly every day in the same configuration, and none of them have experienced it.
Right.
And why was that fuel tank empty? I mean, it was barely into the flight at all.
Right, it had just taken off. Yeah, and it was a, it was a transatlantic flight, so you would think that the tanks would have been a little more full.
I mean, obviously, they do sometimes fly, but it was a center fuel tank, so that's where you would want the fuel for load balancing purposes. So.
Yeah, there's all kinds of problems with that story. So. All right.
Those are my three. Not necessarily my favorite three. But.
Okay, so I would encourage our listeners to... send us your feedback. If you have favorite conspiracy theories that we didn't cover tonight, and I know there's a ton of them out there that we didn't talk about, please let us know. And if you have any other comments about the show, please let us know. Visit our website, MidwestPeacePressProcess.com. You can check out our Facebook page. Check out our YouTube channel. And we're very soon going to have some videos up there. I'm going to be posting the video interview of Larkin Rose, so you can check that out. So I think that's probably it, huh?
That's it.
All right. I want to thank GC Food and Brewery once again. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I don't think we were recording, but the latest missing airplane.
Oh.
That has to be the... That was the impetus for this whole
right. That is becoming a conspiracy theory all its own. The Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, right? So yeah, maybe we will find out more information before the next episode, and that will be quote solved. All right, we want to thank GC Food and Brewery for hosting us once again and keeping the beer flowing.
Still not giving us anything for free.
That's right. Thank our listeners, and we will see you next time.
Good night.
All right, bye now.